Alrighty. Any stations whose call signs begin with Kilo 2. Kilo 2 stations with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment.
This is K2ZO, Jim, and yes, I have a question.
Good evening, Jim, K2ZO. Got that. I actually have a question for you as well. So, the other thing is if people have access to it, they might want to open up the last Barabulletin from last Friday, I believe it was distributed. So look for that as well. Any other Kilo 2 stations, please call K2BAR.
K2DSL, David, no question.
Good evening, David. Alrighty. Any other Kilo 2s?
Kilo 2, Zulu, Charlie, Dave.
You're going to be a popular guy tonight, Dave. I'll tell you that right now. Good evening to you as well. Don't go far. Alright, any other Kilo 2s?
2EIR, comment.
K2EIR, your name again?
That's Howie, H-O-W-I-E.
Good to hear you, Howie. I know we worked before. I felt like a chump asking you. It's Gordon here, W2TTT, or XN2DSY, or XWB2CAM. Alrighty, any other Kilo 2s?
2AMI, Tony, and no questions.
Okay. Good evening, Tony. Good hearing you from you as well. Probably ask you for some club announcements and things like that. On top of the kid night stuff, which we'll get from Jim, I'm sure. Alrighty. Any other Kilo 2s? Alrighty. Let's try the rest of the Kilo block. Any other Kilos, please call K2BAR.
2BAR, this is KC2PYB. Richard, I have one question for you.
Richard, I got you. Good evening to you, KC2PYB. Who is the station who doubled under Richard?
Kilo Charlie 2, Oscar Romeo X-ray. Just listening.
Hi, Robert. Good evening to you. Very, very fine. Is Rachel on frequency by any chance?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, I'm only asking because she put together the list that was in the Barabulletin. Okay. I know sometimes she checks in, but fairly rarely, actually. Any other Kilo Charlie 2, or any other Kilo stations of any flavor, please call K2BAR.
Kilo Charlie 2, Tango Echo Lima, Bob, question.
Checking in.
Wow, okay. Tango Echo Lima, Bob, I got you. Do you have a question or comment?
You have a question about Matt, over.
I will get to you in a minute. And who is the station who doubled underneath you? KC2, station who doubled underneath Bob, who checked in at the same time, please call K2BAR. Okay. Any other check-ins for any other call signs of any type, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment or none of the above.
Yeah, that's 2K, Jim, none.
Okay, Jim, good evening, and NS2K acknowledge. Anybody else?
KO2, okay. No questions, Gordon.
Good evening, Bennett. Very good. Anybody else?
This is KC2TBD. Good evening.
Okay, KC2TBD, and you are?
My name is Ronald.
Hi, Ronald. Good to hear you again. All right, anybody else?
KA2BDU. No question at this time.
Good evening, Helmet. Okay, very good. K2BDU acknowledge. Anybody else?
K2HL, no questions.
All right. Wow. K2HL. W2TTT. Or K2BAR. Very good. Wow. No questions. Anybody else? Okay, last check-in was Frank. One more time. Anybody else? K2BAR. Maybe someone doubled. I don't know what that was. Try it again. All right, one more time. Anybody else? All righty, well, let's do this. Let's roll through the list. Per the instructions of El Presidente, we will at some point talk about software-defined radio and some things like that. We may talk about it in pieces. May sprinkle it around. We'll see how this goes. I want to find out what... I know we have one question on mass from Bob at some point. So let's do this. K2ZO, K2BIR, your question.
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. Okay, after the talk on Sunday night, I got kind of interested in the switch over to digital transmissions now, TV. And I took a look at the back of my new TV and the back of my new converter box, and boy, there's a lot of stuff there. Now, when they installed this thing, they just put a piece of coax going in and set the thing at channel 3 on the TV, and then you use the box. Let me drop it a sec. However, in looking back there, there's all kinds of stuff. Coming out of my box, I have a USB. I have digital audio, digital channels of video. I have S video. I have HDMI. And on the TV, I have a couple of HDMIs. I've also got, you know, a whole bunch of other connections for all of those things. My question is, would I improve this, the picture by going to one of those rather than just using the RF modulator, which I think it's using right now just on channel 3? And I think the answer might be yes, but I'm not sure which one I should use. And since I'm not fooled with this before, I didn't know. Back to that, K2ZO.
Very good questions. Okay, a couple of things. Yes, you should not use the the RF modulator if you actually want to get an HD signal. Let's start there. Number two, you probably, and I'm going to defer to Jim for correction after I make my own pronouncements, but I'm thinking that HDMI is probably your best bet. God knows it's the simplest and the highest quality for that simplicity, at least in my opinion, but I may be wrong, and Jim is going to straighten me out if I need to be straightened out. I would leave your RF input for some form of outdoor antenna so that you can get things directly over the air, and you can switch back and forth by just changing inputs. When you do the RF input, you're going to have to set it up so that you can rescan from time to time as the new channels appear and disappear, move around, whatever, especially during that first week. Now, I've heard tell, by the way, that there's a lot of interest because the money ran out for the digital boxes, that they want to extend the deadline for conversion to a later date so that Congress can authorize more money for our socialized set-top boxes. with all due respect, I know people with six-digit incomes and, you know, to the left of the decimal who went out and bought the two boxes for their TVs, and I just don't get it. I mean, I'm sorry. I think that should have been means tested, but that's my own opinion. We should not have run out of money for set-top boxes for people who truly need them. That should not have happened. On the other hand, we didn't means test it, so surprise. Anyway, so yeah, I think the coax should belong to an antenna, and the HDMI interface should belong to the interface between your set-top box and your, I guess it's Cablevision or Fios, I don't know what you have, but that and your TV. NS2K, your comments, sir, K2BAR.
Sorry, you catch me with orange all over my fingers here. Anyway, HDMI on both the TV set and the cable box or the receiver box, then that's far and away the most likely to give you the far and away superior signal. Now, if you're on Cablevision, for instance, to get most of the cable HD channels, they're up in the 700 range. you can still receive channel 7, for instance, on channel 7, but if you want HD channel 7, you have to go up in whatever it is, 707, or up in that neighborhood someplace. You'll find almost all of them up there. There are one or two exceptions, but not very many. Anyway, let me get it, and I agree, the coax input should be reserved for ATSC over-the-air reception. Let me give it back to Net, NS2K.
Okay, anybody else have any comments?
David, comment.
Go, David.
One of the things to remember is that the connection is really just the transport method. So you can get HD over coax because that's how it actually runs to your fiber termination at your house that goes into your ONT. They then run coax to all your set-top boxes. So it's not really the physical medium that's the restriction. So you can get HD over coax connection. Now, I don't know about Jim's specific box, but I sent Jim an email, I can't remember, last night or this morning, and I listed out all the different orders of the quality of things. And HDMI, DVI, which is kind of like HDMI but doesn't carry the audio, and the RGB connections will all give the best one. And there's probably no noticeable difference unless you're super, super professional, and you might notice it, and it might be different based on the different boxes and TVs that you're going to use. Let me drop it. So it's okay to go ahead and use HDMI. That would be what I suggested to Jim to use, but don't go to Best Buy and spend $55 or $100 on a cable. Just get one off the internet, or if you really want, you can wait till Tuesday. I can bring you one and hand it to you. And I would use that. Then that will give you both the audio and the video in one connection. So when you tune to that on your TV, you don't have to worry about which video and audio to use. And then you can work your way down S-Video, and you've got just the RCA video and the, the yellow, green, red, and then down to the coax. But I would go with the HDMI, but the coax wouldn't necessarily prevent you from getting HD unless they don't send HD out on the coax from that converter box that you have. That's it. Back to Net.
Yeah, that's true. Well, some do, some don't. And the bottom line is that a lot of the televisions aren't set up for HD over coax unless it's ATSC. Broadcast format. I don't know too many set-top boxes that output ATSC. I guess they do at some level, but not quite the, I know they do other things as well. We have some stuff where I work where we can actually stick in Cat 5 wire, and it's IP into a TV that and that will come at some point where your TV will have a 1,000 meg or 1 gig, if you will, Ethernet port, which I think is kind of cool. But anyway, that's coming another day. But anyway, I misspoke a little bit before, but the TVs do ATSC, but over what format? And they do some other formats. So that was kind of my bigger point. Anyway, anybody else want to comment on the subject, please call K2BAR.
I have another comment too, David.
Hi, Dave.
The other thing, and Jim, are you on Optimum Online or whatever Cablevision calls their TV service now?
Online, and as I say, they got a box there, and I don't know whether all these things come out at the same time or whether you've got to make some changes in the box, but I was quite surprised to see that there's a USB connection on the back of the box that the cable company gave us.
Just if you want to right now, and if your TV has the built-in tuner, you can either take the coax connection that's probably going to your digital set-top box today and plug it right into the TV, and you'll get HD for everything that Cablevision doesn't encrypt in their HD by plugging that cable in directly. I don't recall if you can get that with Fios. I don't remember if I tried. But if you wanted to, just right now, or you can even do it by splitting it and splitting it before the set-top box, put one output to the set-top box, put the other to yours, scan it on the coax input, and you'll get the digital signal. How compressed it is versus the over-the-air is up for discussion by everybody. And I know that Jim and Steve talked a little about the different compressions. So you can actually then, if you wanted to, compare the HD signal that comes straight over the cable, not going through the set-top box, with what you get over the air, over, again, even if you wanted to, right over the coax, and just compare it.
Okay, well, that's exactly what I'm going to do when I go upstairs.
Okay, I think there was another station that wanted to make a transmission. I heard somebody key up. Oh, well, all right. Very fine. Well, that's pretty cool. One of my tasks for this week is to just throw something upstairs, either on the side of the tower tomorrow or wait till Sunday and do the same thing. So I have an HD over-the-air antenna. I have an HD TV here, and it's a small little one. It's the Sharp that Verizon kindly gives its customers. But it should be interesting. I don't have an HD set-top box, oddly enough, for Verizon Fios. And, depending on how it really impresses me and the amount of time I actually use it, I may choose to upgrade my set-top box to an HD box. But, you know, I don't know. There are whole weeks that I'm here that I never turn on the television. So right now it's on mute with the rest of the Devil game. The Atlanta Thrashers are thrashing the Devils 4-0 about halfway through the third. So it's pretty ugly. Anyway, let's see, what else did I want to mention? So I guess we're done with this topic. K2ZO, one more back to you just in case. K2BAR.
For just one other comment, I was under the impression that I wouldn't get anything unless I had a cable box. But I guess that's not true. Previously I used to just go straight in without a cable box. But when I upgraded, I'm not sure what I did, I ended up getting a cable box. So right now that's what we're using.
Comment. Okay, comment.
As I'm joking. Jim, with Cablevision, they still transmit over the cable. Fios requires a set-top box on every single television set now, where when I originally got it, they did not. And they actually allowed you to get 1, 2, 3, I think, max, kind of very super basic set-top boxes because they're no longer sending it to analog. But Cablevision still sends it analog, so you can still plug it directly into a TV. And they also still send the non-encrypted HD signals right over the coax that you can scan, and you'll get, as you know, as Jim and Steve said, you'll get the .1, the .2 stuff as well. I don't know; it's kind of an advantage for Cablevision. I'm not sure when they might stop that, but it's also a reason some people haven't converted to Fios is because they're now required to go and pay, obviously, for set-top boxes on every single set, which is ticking off a lot of people. Cablevision does not charge a difference between a standard and a high def, and Fios does charge a difference between a standard def and high def set-top box.
I don't even know what I have.
Let me throw a wrinkle into this. Consider this, gentlemen. Right now, Netflix is offering some sort of unlimited monthly movie package. You can download any movie you want directly into your TV over the internet. So as long as you have a way to get the IP feed, you can you can get your video downloaded, you know, to your computer or to your set-top box or to whatever, and ultimately to your HDTV. Now, consider that there is no set-top box anymore at that point. You're just using your Ethernet, your high-speed Ethernet, to get content. I don't believe for a minute that Netflix is going to be the last, shall we say, content provider to do that. So, ultimately, the question will come, will you buy your connectivity from, let's say, Verizon or from Cablevision, and your content from whomever you feel provides what you want at the price you're willing to pay? So I think that you may see a change. So keep that in mind. There's more to come. It's really kind of neat. It's a big world we have in. Any more on that subject, please call K2BAR.
KO2, okay.
Bennett, go right ahead.
If I'm not mistaken, Gordon, and maybe this is just saying something that somebody has already said, and I checked with the Cablevision site, for HD and going through their HD box, if you have their HD box, it does not pass on HD signal to your TV through RF. So you have to use either HDMI or component or I'm not sure about EV, but definitely, and they have a special note there that their HD box does not pass high definition signals to the through RF to the TV. So you cannot use RF, at least for the high definition channels. It may be different for other channels. And they do say that if you are a Cablevision subscriber and you have a standard box, you can bring it into Cablevision and exchange it for an HD box at no cost. Back to you, Gordon. KO2, okay.
K2DSL.
Good, Dave.
Ben is exactly right, but Jim, I think, is not talking about his Cablevision set-top box. He's talking about one of those digital converter boxes, which might or might not. So he would have to look and see if the digital box that he just bought, not that he is paying a monthly fee for, I think is how Jim described it to me, puts it out on RF. Also, I think with Cablevision's boxes, if you want to get the Dolby sound, you've got to use the digital connection, which is, and I think they have boxes that put out HDMI and boxes that put out DVI, though anybody can get a cable that goes DVI to HDMI or HDMI to DVI or DVI straight through. But definitely I know on the Cablevision HD box, as Ben had said, you can't use the coax connection out. It doesn't pass it that way. And if anybody's interested, a very good site where I've ordered many cables is svideo.com, svideo.com. Click on the left side for the HDMI products, and you'll get, you know, $15 shipped to your house cables that you'd pay $100 for at Best Buy.
And $85 at Circuit City until they close up. Anyway, just kidding. All right, I have a question related to this, and that is, how many people have found an application where Cablevision or anybody else lets you use that USB port? The reason why I'm asking is because I happen to know many, many cable companies, and I don't know about Cablevision, oddly enough, or Comcast, for that matter. But I know many cable companies, Verizon, Fios, and AT&T Uverse, in all full disclosure, I work for AT&T, but, you know, don't have that USB port activated for anything. I'm kind of curious, do any providers have something going on there, and what might that be? Anybody know?
You can charge your USB-powered devices, and that's all I've ever heard. So Cablevision does provide one of their set-top boxes. I can't remember if it's a Sony or one of their SA boxes. I think they're SA. has FireWire that allows you to connect a FireWire device to the set-top box. But otherwise, I've never seen. And, you know, and there's also this, the SATA ports, S-A-T-A, if you wanted to extend the DVR, which is supported on Cablevision but not supported on Verizon Fios. So the SATA ports enabled, you can get a SATA device, and you can increase the capacity of the DVR on the Cablevision DVR, but not on the Fios DVR. But the only thing I've ever heard anybody do useful on the USB is to use it just like the USB on their computers to power a device.
Comment.
Really confused.
Comment, and then we'll get back to Jim's confusion. I promise we'll address that point. Jed Bennett.
Yeah, I'm back to the Cablevision site. They list three HD boxes. They're all Scientific Atlanta. And one of them has a USB port, and it just says reserved for future use. Although, I guess, according to David, there's power to it. And as he said, there's one other higher, I guess, grade box that has a SATA connector on it for increasing the hard drive capacity overall of the box by adding a second hard drive. So with that, back to Nick.
Right. What a SATA interface is, Jim, in case you're confused, is an interface that you can add disk drives to. You go to Micro Center, buy yourself an external SATA drive, plug it in, and away you go. Your DVR will store more hours of useless video. So anyway, does that answer your question, Jim?
Yeah, now I'm just really confused. Why on earth would I want to plug a hard drive into my converter box?
For digital voice video recording, DVR, so that way you can, look at programs later.
Jim, you would want to do it with yours, but if you had a DVR, and a DVR is kind of like a TiVo, it has a hard drive in it that stores and actually buffers, so you can pause live TV and you can rewind. And stores it. You can extend that storage beyond just the capacity that comes in the device if you wanted to do it. Your digital box that is not a digital set-top box in the traditional way that we're talking about it, I have no idea why you want a USB port there.
Okay, yeah. No, I don't need a dual SATA. I don't even watch this thing. My wife does. But I got a box from the cable company. And it's got a USB on it, it's got digital audio, and it's got all kinds of other crap coming out of it. And when they hooked it up, all they did is just go into channel 3 of the receiver. And that was it.
Jim, did I hear you say that somebody installed your TV in your set-top box?
I bought a new TV, and at the same time I changed over to whatever, you know, and had the box, and the guy came in, and I said, I could do this, and he said, no, you can't. So I said, okay, and he just hooked it up and left, you know, and that was it.
Yeah, because with all due respect, you do more complex things on an average Tuesday night than that semi-trained monkey did connecting in the method he chose your TV to your set-top box. So, you know, his no you can't was pretty insulting, and it sounds like a job protection move more than anything. Anyway, enough of that. The fact is, though, that you'll find many different options. A lot of people do store video. I don't have a DVR here. My wife stores programs on the television in our bedroom, so that the kids don't overwrite her stuff that she might want to watch in the living room, because they have free run of that. My oldest son, when he finally deploys his television, which better be soon, the DVR that we got him for Christmas, we basically got an extra set-top box for the house so that he could store his own stuff, get him out of the normal flow of the living room, frankly. So when his room is all set up the way he wants, he'll have a TV with a digital video recorder built into it. Think of it like a programmable VCR. But
with a hard drive instead of a tape. But, you know, that's pretty much it. You know, if he doesn't start to use it, he's going to find that that DVR is going to end up in my shack again, and he'll have a regular set-top box. So we'll see. Any other comments on this subject, folks? K2BAR.
Hey, Jim, it's David. Maybe we should move on to the math question, but if your set-top box, I don't know if it's an SD or an HD set-top box that you got from Cablevision, is hooked up through coax, that's the worst way to have it hooked up. So separate from the little mini digital box, you know, kind of over-the-air type receiver that you got, which I think is what it is. So you've got a Cablevision box, you've got a non-Cablevision box. We don't want, you shouldn't have your set-top box from Cablevision hooked up to your TV through coax, or at least the TV you've been describing to us with the HDMI connections and all that. So we can talk about it after, but we should fix that too.
Okay.
AMI information.
AMI go.
Some very general information, and that is this Compass, that digital converting box that you need a coupon for, they are available on eBay for a dollar or two either side of the $20 price that we paid with the coupon. So you can buy these things on eBay now if you'd like. You don't have to wait to get a coupon if you need to get and want to get the digital converting box that we're offered with the coupon. And number two, Gordon, I find I get very good results with the plain old rabbit ear antenna inside. I don't want to hang more aluminum outside on my tower or on my chimney. So just a good pair of rabbit ears, and I don't mean even an expensive pair, a $10 pair of rabbit ears. New bikes today is $10, and in the old days you could get them for $5. Will give you a very nice reception on the digital signals coming from New York right now. And that's it. Back to control.
Yeah, okay, but, you know, in my case, Tony, I can put my rabbit ears outside on my tower, just on a sidearm, run 20 feet of coax in from the side of the tower right through the ham shack. I can even probably share a hole that I have a rotator control cable running through, because the holes are cut for... All the holes are cut in my wall here are cut for at least half inch coax, if not larger, you know, RG58, RG214, that kind of thing. Unless it's in some cases bigger, but you know, the rotator control lines, there's plenty of room for a piece of RG6 to go with it. So I'll probably do that. I'll probably run 20 feet of RG6 out to a pair of rabbit ears or a folded dipole, something. We'll see. Your point's well taken. I'd rather do mine outside, just to have it outside, have a little more of a chance to hearing some decent, or seeing some decent quality pictures. I won't make any judgments about the quality of the content. Anyway, but that's a good point, Tony. K2AMI. Anybody else? K2BR. Alrighty, any other check-ins before we go on to the next station, please call K2BR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above.
WG2Y with some info.
Good evening, Bruce. Go right ahead.
Hey, good evening, everyone. I was just listening to the tail end of that digital TV conversation, and looks like it's going to be a topic of conversation for quite a while. However, with the ordering of the SDR kits on with Kidnight, some people asked if we could just make one big massive order and have it come in, but I don't think that would be the way to go, because when I understand, Mr. Parks makes kits in small amounts and he sends them out as they get done. So I think we'd be better off by just having each individual person order their kit. When they get the kit and they give the receipt, we can just have it go that way. So back to that. K2BAR, WG2Y.
Okay. Well, whatever it is, I still need some guidance. We're getting ahead of ourselves, but I'm holding my question for that. But my question is basically, what's the 3-band, 1-watt transceiver, and what bands does it cover? And that's my question, but I'll leave that. I don't want an answer now. I want to go to Howie for his comment, then we'll go to Richard, then we'll go to Bob. Howie, your comment, K2EIR, K2BAR.
Hey, check in.
Ed. Yes, ma'am, hold on a second. Yes, go ahead.
W2JEK, check in, no comment.
Okay, very good. Don, welcome aboard. All right, Howie, your comment?
Okay, here's K2EIR. my comment really was just to say hello. I've been in the Mobile. I'm still in the Mobile, so I'm parked. And I really want to get out because I'm not running the engine. I want to get back to my apartment. But it was just a way of saying hello to you. I didn't want to disrupt the bed. These days I'm pretty much only active when I'm in the car. And I haven't heard you for a long time, and I just want to say hello. However, when I get back to the apartment, which is a long walk from where I'm parked, I will try to get the rig going, even though I have other things to do in the apartment, because I am very much interested in FDR. And I would like to say that even though I'm not a member of BARA, if you're doing a project, I am already a member of that Yahoo group, but I've been... Again, many projects, I haven't done anything with FDR yet, but I would be willing to buy one of these transceivers. I know he now has multi-band transceivers, and I think they're in the $50 range, but I'd buy the same thing everybody in Barrett's building so that I could communicate technically with you folks and sort of join that project. So Gordon in particular, if you'd keep me in mind by my call, I'm listed in QRZ, and QRZ, I'm listed in the phone book and all that stuff, you can reach me at my email address at the leak. So I thank you if anything you can do along those lines for me. I would appreciate it. So I'm going to say 73. I'll listen for your transmission, then I'm going to go walk back to the apartment. I don't have an HT with me, and I will turn on my rig there. K2BAR and Vanette from K2EIR.
Okay, Howie. Well, I honestly don't know what people are interested in buying. And I probably won't get the benefit from any club discount because, frankly, our Boy Scout meeting is Tuesday nights and I don't have the option of not being there unless there's, you know, Major League family commitment in another direction. So, but I am interested in that three-band radio, such as it is. But we'll find out about that. But yes, we will definitely keep you apprised of what's going on. Bruce, you have K2EIR at AWRL.net. If you can keep Howie apprised of what's going on, that would probably be a good thing. Alrighty. KC2PYB, your question, sir, K2BAR.
Yeah, K2BAR is KC2PYB. When you were hooking up to that packet station in New York, what baud rate were you using?
1,200. There are no real service points at 9,600, and things are a little squirrely at that, you know, with that, so you have to kind of... you know, be a little more careful, but 1200 is what most people are using, is what virtually all are using.
Okay, thanks a lot. Because that cable, then I have to take it apart and redo it because I made it for 96. That's how the Yazoo radios are operated. I mean, the program is for the baud rate. But then you have a 96 and a 1200 baud pin, and that's the one's going to have to go to the input. The 1200 now is going to have to go to the input to AEA TNT.
My honest opinion is that you build a 1200 cable separately from your 96, but that's okay. You know, as you see fit. When you have it ready, give me a call. I'll be out tomorrow night, but I might be in a shack tomorrow during the day if you need. If you have it done, give me a blast, Richard. It's kind of squishy as to how my day is going to go, but my guess is I'll be in the shack and able to do something, if not in the hour you call, the next one. My schedule is chopped up all day. Alrighty, very good. KC2TEL,
Good evening, Bob. How are you? And your question about, I believe, tower, did I hear that right? K2BAR.
Roger that. Yeah, this is KC2TEL. Yeah, I just want to know if it's safe to make antenna mast using PVC piping. Over.
How tall do you want to go? And what are you going to put on top?
I want to go maybe 25, maybe push 30 feet. And I just want to raise my G5RV antenna a little higher. Over.
So you want to put the center of a G5RV on the top of this PVC pole?
That's right.
Okay. You have a couple of things to think about. Yeah, you can do it. You might consider sections that slide inside of each other. You might also consider Schedule 80 PVC as opposed to Schedule 40. It costs a bit more, but that's another thing. Going 25 feet is probably not a big deal. 30, it's not a big deal, but it's something you'll probably remember if you're not careful. So, you know, the other thing, depending on what you're doing, is maybe put PVC toward the top and, you know, some aluminum or steel toward the bottom so that you get less flex. You get the insulating properties of the PVC up where the ladder line would approach the feed point, and the structural strength where that ladder line can be pulled away from the vertical element at the point where it starts to get metallic. So you've got some choices, but definitely with some overlap. I mean, if you can get the right PVC sections and overlap them and, you know, screw them together with some stainless steel bolts, I think you'll be fine. You can do that up to certainly 25 feet. The other thing to consider, does anybody have the name of the company, the guy who sells the aluminum and fiberglass military mast kits? Anybody have that guy's name in their frontal lobe?
But if you do a search on eBay, he's on there.
Okay, what's it called? Do you remember?
Just look for fiberglass mast.
Okay, Google fiberglass mast. There's a guy, I want to say he's in Pennsylvania, but he also sells aluminum mast and various kinds of other surplus military hardware. That might be your best bet, because it will flex less and be quite sturdy.
Okay, yeah. Because I was looking at MFJ has a fiberglass mast, but in EHAM, there was a review where it wasn't given a good review.
Because the top of it's too narrow and frail. This I think is like an inch and a quarter, inch and a half OD, and it's got tapered ends. Now, if I was going to leave that as a permanent thing on the fiberglass mast, I would drill it through and pin it with a stainless bolt, but that's just me, because I don't want the thing to lift up and, you know, take off. I might even guy it with some black Dacron or whatever. Something along that line, since you're on the subject, we pay a lot of money sometimes for rope for reasons that I'm not quite certain. For $4, gentlemen, you can go to Campmore and get, in your choice of white, black, or OD, a 100 feet of a parachute cord. I believe Ramsey Outdoor, and Jim can speak to this, does the same thing. Worst case, it costs a dollar more. But stuff is wonderful, and you get your choice of colors, and it's got a Kern and a mantle. So it's got strength and abrasion resistance. It's a beautiful coax, a beautiful rope for antennas, supports, lashing things together with, you know, for antennas, all sorts of things. That's something to consider. In fact, one year I made a hinge for a Rhone 25 tower on my truck by lashing with parachute cord through the leg, through two legs of Rhone 25, to the front rack.
rack of my truck at 7.5 feet in the air, and provided a pivot point that way. And it was top heavy, but then at the bottom I had a way to lock it into the ground. But the hinge, instead of being metal, were two hunks of rope square lashed to the roof rack on my front bumper, so that worked pretty well. Anyway, that's just something else to consider as part of your antenna project, Bob. And fiberglass mast, they come in like 5 foot sections. It's pretty straightforward. KC2TEL, K2BAR.
This is NE2Q.
NE2Q, go ahead.
Ah, good evening. My name is Jay. I'm up in Pound Ridge, New York, and I'm fooling around with a new transceiver I just purchased. And I was using this tone scan to figure out what PL tone this repeater was using, and it looks like it worked. I just can't figure out exactly if I'm on the right frequency. Is it 146.790 or 695? I mean 785. Go ahead.
It's 146.79, and the PL is 141.3, as you have, I guess, figured out.
All right, very good. Is the repeater in New Jersey?
Yeah, we have two repeaters. One is in operation at a given time. One is in Paramus and one is in Franklin Lakes. Currently we're on the Franklin Lakes machine. And so you hear two different call signs depending on which machine's up. And they're both in New Jersey.
Okay. Well, sounds good up here. I'm about 40 miles northeast of Manhattan, up near Connecticut. Okay. Sorry to interrupt, but I appreciate the break there. This is NE2Q clear.
Okay, Jay, well, don't be a stranger. We're here every Thursday night at 9 p.m. for the TechNet. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to join us and be part of the net. And we ask interesting questions. We ask for check-ins even for people who are not, shall we say, planning to pose questions or comments, because that turns out to be a useful resource as well. Anyway, welcome aboard. Good luck with your new radio. Real quick, what is your new radio?
It's an ICOM 2200H. They're selling them at a great reduced price, and I couldn't let it go past me without buying one for $150. 65 watts, and it's got a lot of bells and whistles. The first radio I had with this tone scan. I'll listen, and I like to fool around with the antennas for many years, and I'll listen. If I can contribute, I'll come on, NE2Q.
Alrighty, well, welcome, and I have a 2100, so I know what you mean. It is kind of a neat radio. I also have some Olincos, but anyway, enough of that. Well, welcome aboard. Okay, any other comments, questions, confusions on this subject before we move on? K2BAR. Okay. Any other stations wishing to check in or stations wishing to raise a new comment or question, confusion, before we move on to SDR? This is K2BAR. Okay. Well, that's even better. All right, so here's the question. I posed it before, and I'm looking for some answers. One is, what are people thinking about getting on for kit night? Number two, if you're not going to participate in kit night, you still want to get involved in SDR, what are your plans? And number three, my case, I'm interested in a three-band one-watt transceiver, but I want to know what three bands and what the model is of the receiver, of the transceiver, pardon me, so that I can actually get it ordered. So those are the questions I have. I don't know who wants to take charge of this part or wants to answer some questions like that. This is K2BAR. It's a ball toss. Okay, nothing heard. WG2Y, Bruce, it's your ball. Okie dokie. Boy, we're doing real well. How about K2ZO?
I'm as confused as everybody else. Unfortunately, Rachel's not here because she's the one that did a lot of the research and just ordered a kit for herself. I'll send you, Gordon, the links that she sent me so that you can go ahead and take a look. In my case, I'm interested in just building a receiver for the present time. I got enough transmitters around here. I got 7 transceivers, so. But I thought that I'd like to have a receiver that would I could just, you know, pop onto the laptop or something and see what I could listen to. And of course, they do have one that's just like that. So that's what I'm thinking about doing here. But I'll send you that link. It's upstairs, and that you could take a look at it and see what's available. Bruce, I thought was going to discuss it tonight, but I guess he got tied up.
Yep. Well, that's okay. This will wrap up over time. I'm not terribly worried about it. I actually have another topic which I want to raise in another minute anyway, totally unrelated to this, but I was giving deference to this subject because it's going to take a little bit of a ramp-up time anyway. I would like the list that Rachel prepared that wasn't in the Barrett Bulletin or the, you know, should we say, without the, should we say, encumbrances of a PDF file. I find that to be a real pain in the neck. I like Word documents myself. People are always saying, but you might change it. And it's like, yeah, I might be able to edit it and use the information for something other than, you know, an image of somebody else's words. If it's public domain, it's fine. If I got it courtesy of somebody's good offices, I give credit. And if it's somebody's intellectual property, I give credit. So pretty straightforward stuff. Anyway, I'm not a big fan of PDFs, as I said. I really am interested in that 3-band transceiver, because what I would use it for, just so everybody knows, is use it with a laptop computer to provide a low-power PSK31. So my goals are somewhat similar to yours, Jim, in some respects. There is also something to consider. This whole SDR-IQ interface is something to think about. I'm actually looking at the idea of an SDR-1500 because that's going to be a low power transceiver, mostly designed to drive transverters. And as many of you know, that my interest is in VHF, UHF, and microwave weak signal work, and I'm thinking that I might, if it is might, go that route. And see how that goes. I don't have a 6-meter transverter, but I've got 3 radios that are on 6 meters. It might be neat to have a software-defined radio for that. The other thing is, I was looking at the idea of the SDR 3000. 5000 is a little rich for my blood, frankly. But the idea is to would be to use it as a way to examine 192 kilohertz of bandwidth. The only way to describe it is imagine a PAN adapter where you can receive and decode everything in the passband. Let's think about that. With the SDR-IQ, in fact, you can even Google SDR-IQ. Imagine taking 192 kilohertz of spectrum and decoding everything in it, no matter what it was. That's kind of neat. Saving it, storing it, and then playing it back through various decoders later if you need to. Boy, have we gotten a long way. In the old days, they called those spy satellites, and they, you know, had the satellites drop reentry vehicles that were picked up by airplanes in over oceans and things like that so they wouldn't get into the Russians' hands. But anyway, can you say KH7? Anyway. Anybody else? K2BAR.
It's Aurora.
Yeah. Some people have been around too long, including me, at this point. But anyway, let's see. Anybody else want to comment on software-defined radio in any way?
K2EIR at the apartment, comment.
Howie, you got a good signal. Go ahead.
Okay. Unfortunately, the repeater's not coming in full scale. called Wonder Radio. Wonder Radio. And basically, as I recall, it's 80 through 10 meters, or you know, of course, it does transmit. It, I think it can do to 60 megahertz continuous and receive. And it's about a $500 board that you buy. It's already wired. You know, you may add a case and whatever. I was intrigued by that, but I think, you know, it's beginning to run up there in price. Of, you know, it's 10 times the price of anything Tony Parks is putting out, so I was a little reluctant, but I just throw it out. If nobody's heard of it, they should take a look, and if they have heard of it, I'm interested in further comments. K2BAR from K2EIR.
Actually, I did see that, and my reluctance to even think about it much was pretty much the same as yours. I know the SDR 1500 is coming out as a really cool IF strip, mostly for transverters, but it will do 80 through 10, etc. But yeah, it's certainly intriguing. It's missing a lot of parts, and it's kind of, you know, expensive. I don't know if it uses the SDRIQ software platform either. That's the other question that comes to mind. And, you know, Jerry talks about those little receivers he's been playing with, and they all use that standard. So I think there's a lot to be said for that. How about this? K2 Zulu Charlie. Mr. Dave, you have some comments?
This is K2 Zulu Charlie. I'm sorry, I was away for a while. I was taking out the garbage, and I don't know really what you were talking about. I know you're talking about the software-defined radios, but I don't know what the question is.
Well, you've built several, so, you know, just give us a quick couple-minute refresher on what you built and which software packages you run with them and blah, 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 blah.
Okay, K2BAR, this is K2 Zulu Charlie. I built the original Softrock 40, which was the first one that Tony Parks and I think his name is Bill Tracy came out with. And that's a crystal-controlled or a rock-bound one-band Softrock. And you can't get that anymore. But right now they just came out with a new Light 2, it's called. Which it's a sampler version. If anyone that wants to try it, real cheap, you can pick a band that you want, 40, 80, or I think 30. I don't know. So I'm not really on their page right now. I don't know what band it is. But you can get one of those for $10, and that includes shipping. And you can see if that's what you want to do. You see if your computer will run it, it'll work with your sound card and all that, and you can't go wrong for $10. And I built a couple of the transceivers, the model, the version 6.1 and the version 6.2. One is a two-band 8040 meter rig, and the other is a 2030. Let me drop it. And right now I just received the receiver kit, the version 9, and that's going to be an all-band receiver from 160 to 10 meters, or actually it can cover 6 meters also, depending on the bandpass filter kit that you get for the front end. And that's going to be an electronically switched bandpass filters on the front end, which will work off the USB connector. And that goes with the whole kit, about $55. There's also the model, the version 6.3 receiver or transceiver, which if you get everything, all the power amp modules and the bandpass, so that also I think has the electronically switched bandpass filter kit on the front end. That would run $110 if you want everything, or you can just get one of the power amp modules and probably make that radio for about $65. And that's about it. That's a synopsis of all the kits available now from Tony Parks.